I grew up in a family where Christmas festivities didn't happen until after Thanksgiving. Black Friday was ushered in our Christmas season in my household, but not exactly in the way you think. We didn't go shopping on Black Friday, and I really, really don't like shopping. But the Friday after Thanksgiving was the day that we pulled down all the boxes filled with Christmas decorations from the attic. While my dad put up the tree and wrapped the white columns in the front of our house with red fabric and white twinkle lights to transform them into candy canes for the season, my mom ordered my sisters and me around, telling us to put this decoration here and that one there, all while Mariah Carey's Christmas album played and Mannheim Steamroller cranked out Christmas tunes. My sisters and I always drug our feet. We didn't like the house decorating part of the Christmas festivities, but we knew if we made it through the day that we'd be rewarded with fresh cookies and decorating the Christmas tree that night. We loved decorating the Christmas tree. I still do. And that's why we always did it on the Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving, so that whatever Bookter girls were away at college would be back, so that we could all decorate the tree together and join in on the fun. But for some of us, once the house is all decorated, once the tree is up, once the lights are out in the front yard, you begin to wonder, what are we waiting for? Let's have Christmas now. It's especially true if you're a planner or a Black Friday shopper and you've got all of your Christmas gifts ready by December 1st or December 15th. And sometimes you just feel like, let's go ahead and do it already. And that's where Advent comes in. Advent is a strange time because outside of the church walls, Christmas is happening now. I mean, stores have had Christmas stuff out since Halloween. Everyone has Christmas music, and it's proclaiming the birth of Jesus. But here at church, it isn't Christmas yet. It's Advent. And we've got to admit, sometimes that's a little disappointing, because it feels like a hurry-up-and-wait game. And maybe that's because Advent really is all about waiting. Advent is that strange time where we wait. We wait for the coming of the Christ child, for Jesus to come, for the manger and the star, the shepherds all, the angels' chorus. This is the waiting that we're decently good at. The waiting that tells us that the celebration and the gift-giving, the food and the fun is just around the corner. But we're also waiting for that second coming of Christ. That's the strange thing about Advent. We're all wrapped up in the coming of baby Jesus, and the risen Christ is just on the horizon. And that's what Matthew is calling us to in today's text. Because yes, of course we're waiting for the Christ child during Advent, but we're also waiting for the coming of the risen Christ and his return, which means we're waiting on the day when heaven and earth will be of one accord, waiting for the light of Christ to come into this world anew, the light of love, light of peace, light of joy, light of hope, waiting on Christ to redeem the world and reconcile it back to God. As in most waiting, we want it to happen right now. But we have to join with God in the preparation, in preparing our hearts and our minds, in preparing all of creation. This waiting is a little harder than the waiting for the celebration of the Christ child that comes each year on December 25th. And this waiting, it requires action. It requires us to ask, what can we do to bring heaven on earth? What can I do to prepare myself for Jesus coming in glory? And then it's not just enough to ask those questions, but we're supposed to act on them. Because we're told that the Son of Man is coming, and coming at an unexpected hour. We don't know when it will happen, but we're called to prepare, to keep awake, so that we'll be ready when the day comes. One of my favorite stories of waiting comes from when I was in high school. I don't know about around here, but where I grew up, rolling was a big deal. Some areas call it TPing or toilet papering instead of rolling, but whatever you call it, it's the same practice. You and a group of friends, you wait until it's completely dark outside, and the older you are, the later you go, and you sneak into another friend's yard with as much toilet paper as you can carry, and you cover their entire yard in toilet paper. It sounds strange. It's a lot of fun. It's like streamers coming down from the trees. You cover the bushes like a layer of snow. And all the while, you're trying to make sure that you don't wake up the people inside. It's about the element of surprise. But in my hometown, there's a huge rivalry between the two biggest high schools, Shreve and Byrd. And the night before the big football game, there's a tradition of rolling people from the other school. We had over 2,000 students at my school, so you never knew if your house was getting rolled. But somehow word got around that one of my friends' homes was going to be rolled that night. It was the perfect house to roll. They had trees with low limbs, easy to get toilet paper stuck in, bushes that lined the front porch. They knew they had it coming, and so my friends devised a plan. I missed out on the whole ordeal. I rolled a few houses, and then I went home to finish my homework because I cared way too much about my grades. But my friends were ready. They waited, they prepared, they prepped. Everything was ready to go. One person hid behind the bushes with the water hose ready to spray away. Two of them were on the roof with ice chests full of pre-made water balloons. And a few had water guns, and they hid in the backyard waiting for the signal, and one was on lookout. They waited for hours. They waited for so long that a lot of the water gun guys in the back of the house went home. But finally, a car pulled up, and it slowly passed in front of the house a few times, circling to scope out the place, make sure no one was awake. Finally, they parked a few houses down and out poured like 8 or more high school students. They had boxes of toilet paper under their arms. I don't know how they all fit in there with it. And they came to do serious rolling damage. Once they started their work, they were focused on the task ahead, and that's when John gave the sign, and it was on. Water balloons were thrown from the roof. The hose started spraying. People ran out with water guns. It was a total ambush. Those rollers scattered. They left their toilet paper behind and fled to the safety of their car, and off they went. My friends declared it a victory. All of their hard work had paid off. All of their waiting. They were prepared. They waited. They prepped. They got the whole waiting thing. And in the preparation for rolling, they did some of the same preparation we do for Advent. Keep awake, our scripture tells us. Stay alert. Because they didn't know the time that the other rollers would come, but they prepared. And so can we. Because we don't know the day of, or the time of Christ's return. So this Advent season, just as we deck the halls of our homes and our churches for the coming of the Christ child, we must prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ in glory. We prepare by thanking God for what God has already done and for acknowledging that there are new things for God to teach us. We prepare by praying more and loving harder. We prepare by recognizing that God puts something in our path every day to give someone a better day, to make an impact on someone's life, to change the way we think so that we can see the world as God does, so others can see the world through God's eyes as well. So let us prepare. Let us welcome in the Christ child, the coming of baby Jesus this season. But let us also usher in the kingdom of God here on earth, that we might also be prepared for the coming of Christ in glory. In this Advent season of waiting, let us be active. Let us wait. Let us prepare. Amen.